Pre-show introductory notes. State Theatre of South Australia presents The Appleton Ladies Potato Race, written by Menelie Tate. The audio-described performances at the Royalty Theatre will take place on Saturday the 12th of June at 2 p.m. and Tuesday the 15th of June at 6:30 p.m. The production runs for 1 hour and 30 minutes with no interval. There will be a pre-show sensory tour at 12:45 on the 12th of June and 5:15 on the 15th of June. If you would like to attend the sensory tour, meet in the theatre foyer 5 minutes prior to the tour time. The sensory tour will explain and explore aspects of the set and props and usually includes meeting the performers. This will take approximately 30 minutes. If, however, you are unable to attend the sensory tour, the audio describers will commence pre-show introductory notes 15 minutes prior to the performance. A receiver and earpiece will be provided for you to use to hear the description. Sponsored by State Theatre Company's Dramatic Women Donor Group, the play is inspired by true events from Melanie Tate's background and personal experience. An important story, this comedy about five very different women and a very real annual potato race depicts the plight of a tiny fictional Australian agricultural community fighting for equality and survival. The Appleton Ladies Potato Race at the Royalty Theatre is the home of South Australian calisthenics and a grand dame of Australian Adelaide theatrical circuit. Her red velvet scalloped curtains rise either side of the proscenium arch from stage level to the ceiling. Gilded edging traces the proscenium arch that thrusts above the stage and highlights the ornate plaster circles set in the high ceiling around four chandeliers. Set and props. The key elements of the set are the corrugated iron fences and sheds of the country town of Appleton. The use of coloured lighting and spotlights bouncing off the corrugated iron wall throughout the play creates versatile and diverse spaces which delineate the variety of community activities and create a rich sense of country life. A vertically orientated 2-metre-high corrugated iron fence leads from the auditorium on either side diagonally to the stage. On platforms above the fences are bags of potatoes. Appleton Potatoes is stenciled in black on the front of the Hessian sacks. Tall open metal towers, one on each side, are draped with bunting made of bright fabric triangles in shades of red, orange, blue and green. The performance space is split level. From the main stage, there is a 20-centimetre step down to the lower level, running the width of the stage closest to the audience. At the back of the space is a corrugated iron tin shed wall. Its outer edges are approximately 3 metres tall and curve up to meet each other at a peak at about 5 metres in the centre. Small patches of blue sky on either side are created by lighting, which darkens to purple as the evening draws in. Tall corrugated iron walls on either side of the stage, around 3 metres high by 3 metres wide, run along the sides of the space and meet the back wall in a neat corner. Matching the curve of the back iron walls, a gently curved piece of corrugated iron 1 metre deep arches over the stage, just below the proscenium arch. A 2 metre square cross-stitched sign in brown, yellow and green hangs below it, announcing proudly, "Welcome to Appleton, population 1,557, with an emoji of a smiling potato wearing a tall chef's hat and the slogan, "Australia's best potatoes." Below the sign is a square wooden table set on the upper level, on an angle with two chairs, one with a handbag hanging off the back. The table is dressed with a red and white check tablecloth and two water glasses. To the left of the stage, a tubular agricultural iron gate with 6 lines of wire strung through it sits flat along the diagonal side fence line. When the gate is open, it sits between the main stage and the lower level, dividing the green areas of playing fields or football oval from the showgrounds. Wooden crates are used as seating. To create the hairdressing salon, a portion of the left wall folds down and out to become the counter in the salon. The counter has a curved edge and reveals an arched recess in the wall of the salon. Drawn laboriously along the curved ceiling track, a large pair of blue sequined scissors glitter above the stage, announcing the name of the salon, Get Nicked, spelt N-I-K-K-E-D. The furniture. The furniture in the salon is predominantly pink, consisting of a retro hairdryer on wheels and a chair. These face the audience as if looking into a mirror. When the counter is returned to the upright wall, it disappears and the props are removed. A similar shaped counter drops out of the right wall to become a suspended office desk in a doctor's surgery. Medical books and objects fill the curved bookshelf and a laptop sits on the floating desk. An office chair on casters completes the doctor's surgery. Hanging themed banners in patchwork fabric pieces announce key scene changes. This theme is first introduced by the cross-stitched Welcome to Appleton sign. During the two talkback radio sequences, cross-stitched emoji signs magically light up as they move across the blackened space. At the local produce market, a patchwork sign announces crop swap in bright patterned fabrics. This scene also has a small fold-out market table with a red and white check tablecloth and a neat red and white market umbrella. The white sections of the umbrella are hand-painted with bright coloured apples. There is also a selection of large cane baskets filled with apples and other produce. A patchwork banner featuring oversized bras, undies and socks hanging on a washing line is flown across the stage to set the scene for Barb's Australian story as she recalls the iconic beginnings that led to the ladies joining the Appleton potato race. The Appleton Show Pavilion is utilized for several scenes. In one flashback, we revisit the Appleton Show of 1988. Two large posters decorate the industrial-sized wooden doors, which are created when the back iron wall is hinged open from the centre. A low corrugated iron fence is revealed sitting behind the pavilion doors. Kaleidoscopic lighting is used to reimagine the 1988 Under-12s Appleton Physical Culture Competition. On the evening prior to the great race, the Appleton Show Pavilion becomes the potato packing shed. Large potato-filled bins on wheels are strategically pulled out of the back wall and placed back-to-back in a central position. When packed with potatoes, the 20-kilogram sacks for the women and the 50-kilogram sacks for the men are stacked into the cavities of the wall alongside a set of industrial scales in readiness for race day. The first scene is a meeting of the Appleton Show Committee, which is held in the local pub. A light with three amber-coloured shades hangs from the ceiling above the square table and two chairs. Characters and costumes. First, we meet Penny. At 40 years old, she's now a career woman, a doctor. Her slender frame is accentuated by the pale blue and white checked pantsuit with fashionably flared cuffs and asymmetric collar and hemlines. Penny has tightly curled blonde hair to her shoulders and holds herself upright, open shoulders, and confidently strides around in sensible tawny brown leather lace-up shoes. Her wristwatch, with a brown leather band, has a large round face. In her surgery, she wears a white embroidered blouse with long puff sleeves tucked into pale blue pleated cotton trousers. Around her neck is slung a stethoscope. Bev and Barb, two long-standing friends, both in their 70s, often appear together. Bev is stocky in frame and slightly stooped in her black, white and grey checked flannel shirt. This hangs loosely over deep blue hiking pants as she shuffles about in comfortable dark slip-on shoes. Bev's long grey hair is dragged up into a ponytail, trendles of which escape around her face. Around her neck hang a pair of thin gold-rimmed glasses on a cord. She totes a grey carry bag with Buy Local written on the side. Barb, conversely, bounces about in tiny cream-coloured lace-up shoes, long loose blouse and baggy trousers in shades of olive green. Even her glasses are green. Regularly smiling with sparkling eyes, her round face is framed by her short grey bobbed hair. Draped across one shoulder is a long grey woolen scarf, and around her neck is a string of pale green gemstones. Nikki, Penny's cousin, also 40, owns and runs the local hairdresser and waits the tables at the pub as a second job. She's tall and robust and a bit rough round the edges. Her leopard print leggings appear from under the grey publican apron over a black T-shirt. In her salon, she adds a pale blue denim miniskirt and black equipment belt with a pair of gold scissors emblazoned on them. Her black trainers have pink laces, the same shade of bubblegum as her ankle socks. Her hair is brunette, parted in the centre, artificially curled with pink streaks in the front. Rania. Her clothing is colourful and patterned. Her long dark hair is wrapped up in a knotted silky headscarf. Her features and eye makeup are accentuated by large white daisy petal earrings. Around her waist is a leather plaited belt holding up 3/4 length loose legged black and white striped trousers. Her blouse is short sleeved in pale yellow floral print, and her boots are dark brown leather. Rania is in her 30s and stands strongly at approximately 5'6". At the crop swap, Rania adds a collarless short bomber jacket made from multiple patterned fabrics sewn together, a zip up the front. In her training clothes, Rania has black leggings under a maroon pair of shorts, a bright blue T-shirt and black trainers. Three of the characters appear in a flashback to 1988, where Nikki, at the age of 10, is competing in a physical culture competition. Her long dark hair is swept up in a bun on top of her head, adorned with a pink, white and lime green bow. She struts and gesticulates with exaggerated dance moves in a shiny blue long sleeve leotard decorated with lime green tulle netting and pink ribbon. Penny, also age 10, her hair in bunches, sports a headband with two potatoes bobbing on the end of springs. She's in a red and white cowboy shirt with red pockets, tucked into a knee-length pair of denim shorts. She squints through a pair of large round glasses and wears long socks and lace-up shoes. Bev has transformed into a bouncy 30-year-old version of herself in pink blouse, bright floral skirt and a red head curly wig. A mystery man, Alexander Strumpet, appears in a blue, black and white nylon sports tracksuit. His face is obscured by the hood, apart from a long, droopy black moustache. From time to time, a male and female stage assistant make an appearance in denim jeans and check shirts, work boots and akubra hats as they deftly move scenery around on stage. The cast. Penny Anderson is played by Anna Steen. Bev Armstrong by Carmel Johnson. Barb Ling is played by Genevieve Mui, Nikki Armstrong by Sarah Brockenshaw, and Rania Hamid by Susie Youssef. Production credits. The writer is Melanie Tate. Director, Eleanor Karapetis. Designer, Catherine Sproul. Lighting designer, Nick Mollison. Composer and sound designer, Andrew Howard. Accent coach, Jennifer Innes. Choreographer, Carol Wellman-Kelly. Wigs and dresser, Yana DeBasi. Stage manager, Gabrielle Hornhart. And the stage assistants are Jennifer King and Grant Petrusovics. Access information. For up-to-date access information, please contact the Royalty Theatre on email royaltytheatre, all one word, at calisthenicssa, all one word, .com.au, or phoning 8223-5765. The address of the Royalty Theatre is 65 Angus Street, Adelaide, South Australia, 5000. This document has been written and produced by Carol Wellman-Kelly and Julie Filk. For more information on audio-described performances, please contact Jody at Access to Arts using the email address audio.describer@access2arts.org.au, or speak to the audio-describers at the theatre.